Well, hello, hockey fans. It is Tuesday, November 21st, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of From the Press Box here at the AHL Report. I'm your always effervescent and friendly host, Amy Johnson, the lead correspondent at the AHL Report, and I am, of course, joined by my always intelligent and well thought out analytical co-part, Rick Stevens.
I was just going to let you go there for a while. Now, the effervescent part, is there glitter involved? Is that how that works?
No, I'm not girly enough for glitter.
All right.
So sorry. But hey, you know, I'm just feeling extra chipper and chippy and friendly because it's finally.
Oh, it's a holiday for you guys down there.
It's Thanksgiving this week. See, you guys like rub it in our faces a month early, like, look at all of us with all of our turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes. Yes, stuffing and mashed potatoes and all that kind of good stuff.
Dressing.
And we're like, well, where's ours? But then we get to November and I've had like the whole week off from work because I said I'm taking a vacation. It's more like a staycation. It's more like a working vacation, actually, but and then we're just going to, you know, stuff ourselves silly and watch football and some hockey. And yeah, it's going to be great.
It's a great football day.
Fantastic football day. Fantastic. It's like the best part of American Thanksgiving is that it's just wall-to-wall sports all day.
And I'll get to watch my Vikings, which I rarely get to do because they aren't on TV much here. But I'll get to watch my Vikings play on Thanksgiving Day.
Your Vikings are like my Eagles, are both surprisingly doing well this season, it seems.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more open this season about saying, yes, they're my Vikings than I have been.
Well, I mean, I kind of have to tread carefully anytime, any season that I say I'm an Eagles fan because everybody just hates Philly sports and Philly teams and Philly fans. So, you know. I get the same amount of hate, no matter if they're doing well or not. But I can, at least I'm justified in saying that the Dallas Cowboys suck. They really suck. I can emphatically say that this year. They really do. But this is a hockey podcast, I think. So we will we'll get right into it. We have a lot to cover yet again this week, Mr. Rick. We're going to take a...
Indeed we do.
I was going to say we're going to take a brief look at the Rocket, but it's actually not going to be that brief. We're going to recap some of the Rocket action from this past week and weekend, and then preview what they've got coming up ahead. And then we'll dive into a little bit of AHL news. We've got, you know, some player of the week news, some suspensions. Where are they now? I hear is
where are they
epic
now?
Proportions this week. So we'll be buckle in for that. And then, of course, we have a very special holiday Thanksgiving edition of Top 5 coming up towards the end of the show, so you don't want to miss that. So we should just get right started with the Rocket. And, Rick, I got to say, since our last show, the Rocket played the Utica Comets at home, the Lehigh Valley Phantoms at home, and the Manitoba Moose on the road. And they've won one of those three games, and in that game, they blew a three-goal lead yet again and almost lost that one. It just hasn't been looking very, I don't know. I don't even know what the word is because the talent is there. It's just not coming together on the ice. There's a lot of close calls. They're blowing leads. Their puck possession really needs a lot of work. They're getting pinned in their own zone a lot. The defense is just, it's not a goaltending issue. It's just now they're facing really good teams in the standings and they're not doing so well.
Yeah. And coming into that stretch, they didn't do particularly well against the bottom feeders either. So it's, as you said, defensively, it's been a nightmare. Discipline has been an issue, game to game,
big time.
And you know, it's to just step back from the games a bit and look kind of big picture. The the AHL Canadiens, the in various forms, the Bulldogs and then the Ice Caps, were kind of in obscurity, particularly in St. John's, where they were able to focus primarily on development. And because there wasn't much attention paid to them, you know, whether they won or not, it was more about who is being called up and who is contributing to the big club when they did come up. But this year, there's been a change in that philosophy, and it was articulated by Larry Carrière, who said, we're building this team to win this year. We've got a building to fill, a brand new building, a big building. We have to play competitive hockey. We have to play entertaining hockey. And so you saw the Rocket go out and add, quite a few veterans. It's a veteran laden lineup, at least more so than in previous years, in a focus to win more, to bring the fans out, to get them engaged, and maybe ease off on the development side. And so far, I don't know, the jury's out on whether that's been a success or not. Certainly they've been filling the building, but that, you know,
absolutely. The crowds have been good.
Yeah. That's a bit of a honeymoon. I expect having a new team in town, but if this continues into the new year, where they're not as competitive as people suspected, maybe that's going to start to, the attendance is going to start to wane as well. It's just, the way things are unfolding is not what was set down on paper, I don't think.
No. And, there are those who can pass that off and say, okay, well, you're missing the Durbecks and the Lindgrens and the Deloriers and the Juulsens and the team and Byron Fraze. But every AHL team goes through that. Every AHL team starts bleeding top players who get called up to the NHL. So it's while yes, the team would be probably more productive with those players in the lineup every night, their job is to be able to still win games when those players are not in the lineup. And, as I said, the game against Utica on Wednesday, they were up. Let me take a look at my notes here. They were up, I believe, 3-0 at one point. Yes, they were up 3-0 at the beginning of the second, early in the second period. And they ended up winning that game 5-4. The Utica mounted a big comeback late in that game. And that's a problem. I know Lefebvre has talked about that in previous post game scrums, that they have to stop giving up these big leads. And a lot of times it is, as you mentioned, due to discipline. They're in the penalty box all the time, and their penalty kill I don't know where it's at today. Yesterday it was 29th in the league. So they're constantly putting themselves shorthanded, and then their PK isn't coming through. That's a problem. In fact, it's my understanding that at Morning Skate today, they have another game tonight in Manitoba. At Morning Skate today, they were working on the PK, which needs to be done. And then Lehigh Valley came in on Friday night and just absolutely swept the place with them. They lost that one 5-2 after getting the first goal of the game. But again, looked really disorganized, just not a lot of offensive pressure. And then traveled to Manitoba for the first time. This is a new thing for the way the league has redone divisions and whatnot. So the team isn't used to traveling out to Manitoba. So they're in Winnipeg, playing at the Bell MTS place, by the way, playing in where the Winnipeg Jets play. And that game on Sunday afternoon was another 5-2 loss. And again, they got on the board first once again and couldn't sustain it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens tonight. They play their second game of the series in Winnipeg tonight. Some interesting things, Rick, as far as how the lineup has looked for the last couple of games. Some people raised an eyebrow when they saw for that Lehigh Valley game and for the last game that McCarron was bumped down to the third line, centering Yannick Veilla and Jeremy Gregoire. So, you know, of course, people are automatically going to go after, you know, Lefebvre. What are you doing? You're demoting the third line, things like that. However, that's an intimidating physical line, good forechecking line. And they have done fairly well for themselves. In the Lehigh Valley game, they had a lot of energy in the third period and created some scoring chances in that third period. And in the last game against Manitoba, they were doing well again. McCarron had two assists on the night, I believe. And that line was again looking very strong. As such, it's looking like that line has been promoted to be the second line going into tonight's game, as far as early reports coming out of practice today from our friend and colleague, Raphael Doucette from 91.9. So it could be interesting now, Rick, to see how that works out. If Veilla, McCarron, and Gregoire are gelling together chemistry-wise really well as a line, to see them as the second line behind Carr, Holland, and Terry, that could be really interesting tonight.
It's interesting putting that line together. They're big, they're punishing, and good.
I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of that line.
No, all three of them work very hard. It made me think that maybe there's a method in Lefebvre's madness here, or as some would see as madness. If you have Mike McCarron coming down to the AHL, he's put on the top line and expected to be the top scoring line. And then he goes up to the Montreal Canadiens, and his role is completely changed.
Right.
What about putting McCarron on the third line, a line that's intended to forecheck, to cause turnovers, to bring energy, to punish the opposition, to wear them down, to be very good defensively? That kind of sounds like what his role is expected to be when he gets to Montreal. So maybe there's a bit of change in the philosophy, saying, okay, let's give him the repetitions in the AHL that he's going to need when he goes up to the NHL. And, that's just purely my speculation, but if
right.
that's what it is, that's smart. That's brilliant, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And sure enough, you know, they've played two games as the third line. Tonight they're getting a promotion, all three of them together. And it'll be really, I'm very much looking forward to seeing how that works out. He's had a couple scraps since he's been sent down on that third line. Gregoire, of course, will at this point hit anything that moves. He's like a solid Mack truck out there. And Yannick Veilla never shies away from the physicality as well. He, in fact, was the one who scored the first goal in Sunday's game with a great cross ice feed from McCarron. So it'll be interesting. The puck drops in Manitoba tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Will, of course, you can follow along with us at the AHL Report on Twitter and my Twitter handle at Flyers Rule. I'll have all the play-by-play action for that. Some interesting notes in addition to that, Rick, also coming from Raphael Doucette this afternoon, is that it looks like Simone Bork, after having been a healthy scratch for the last 7 games, is going to draw in tonight, and Stéphane LeBlanc will take a seat tonight. It'll be interesting. I'm sure Coach Lefebvre is looking for ways to shake things up with those defensive pairings, with how weak the defense has been. I imagine that Bork is going to feel like he's got something to prove after being scratched for the last 7 games.
For sure. And the other part of it, I think, is looking ahead, that and planning for the the eventual call up of Jurabek, they're going to need to make sure that everybody's ready to go and more involved, and those who have been sitting on the sidelines like Bork are going to have to be playing more. So that's probably part of the thinking as well.
Absolutely. One note that that had come out over the weekend was that Noah Juulsen had been skating with the team last week, and the news had come out over the weekend that he was going to travel with the team to Winnipeg. And according to Raphael, after today's practice, he took a full practice with the team today. Mr. Doucette seems to believe that Juulsen could be imminent within the next week or so. So that will also change things immensely on the blue line for the Laval Rockets. So we will keep you posted as soon as we hear anything regarding Noah Juulsen. Everyone is certainly anxious to see him in the lineup. Us included, Rick.
For sure. He was scheduled to be eased into the lineup of the Ice Caps the end of last season. And that was kind of just thrown out the window because he adapted so quickly and he rapidly moved up to the first pairing and against Syracuse and just stayed there. He was very impressive at the end of last season everybody's anxious to see him back in the lineup this season.
For sure. So we'll keep you all posted on how the game goes tonight against Manitoba. They also then, and here's the kicker, when we're talking about how they need to be playing well against top teams, they need to be playing well against, teams at the bottom of the rankings, but they really need to step up their game here in these couple of weeks, because when they get back from Manitoba later this week, they've got a back-to-back at home Friday night and Saturday afternoon against those same Utica Comets that also came back on them last week. That's a really important divisional weekend. And it's going to be depending on how tonight's game goes, that could be the points that are up for grabs this weekend will be quite important. And I should note that I will be traveling to Montreal this weekend to cover Laval at home. So the AHL report crew will be at Place Belle this weekend. Be sure to say hello. We will be there covering the Rocket it's still on the road for me, but but the team gets to be at home at Place Belle. So we will have lots of good information for you coming out of Laval this weekend. Should be fun. So I guess moving on to some AHL news. Now, I find this funny, actually, Rick. We talk about how the Manitoba game went on Sunday. And one of the guys that just really schooled the Laval Rocket was a forward by the name of Mason Appleton. And last week, he actually had 3 goals, including 2 game-winning goals. And 3 assists in just 3 games last week. And one of those including the game against Laval. And he is now the CCMAHL Player of the Week. Isn't that nice?
Well, Laval is quite familiar with him. And maybe one of the when you look down that Manitoba Moose roster, there's some good players on that team. Nick Batan and several players and Appleton, a sixth round pick, back in 2015, a Michigan State grad and maybe like I say, one of the more lesser known, it's a strong team. He had a great week, and the Moose are on a roll.
Yeah, they are. They're on a 3-game winning streak now going into tonight's game, and I believe they're 7-2-1 in their last 11 games. So they've certainly got momentum in their favor. So we always go from the good news of the week with the player of the week to the bad news of the week, which is the suspensions for the week. And oh boy, were was the AHL busy handing out suspensions this week? We've got a few to speak of. Tucson Runners forward Connor Garland was suspended 2 games for a cross-checking incident. And San Diego Gulls forward Michael Liambus was suspended for 1 game for an elbowing incident. Then in addition to that, we had Cameron Gaunt suspended. Why am I not surprised to see this? Cameron Gaunt suspended for 3 games for a boarding incident against Milwaukee on the 18th. Gaunt's, I believe, used to play on the East Coast last year. And I kind of remember him really always being one of those pesky players that seem to either instigate things or find himself in the penalty box quite a bit. So 3 games for him for a boarding incident. So plenty of suspensions to go around. And now I believe I need to, I don't know, get out a smoking jacket and maybe pour a cup of coffee and get a snack and maybe put my feet up,
you know,
a pair of slippers, because from what I understand, and I am full disclosure, I am yielding the complete Where Are They Now floor to Rick Stevens yet again this week, because I hear that today's journeys with Rick, as one of our colleagues likes to call it, is of epic proportions. If you did not think that his segments on this were epically involved in the past, well, he's here to one-up you today. So I yield the floor, sir. Where are they now, and who are we?
Where are they now?
Who are we about to take a journey with?
Well, I just like the connections, all these connections, and that's why these where are they now turn into being journeys,
sure,
and being involved.
And all, you know, joking aside, we've heard a lot of feedback from listeners that they actually very much enjoy these journeys. So I kid heavily every week, but we know that listeners really enjoy this. So please go ahead.
And it's from one of those loyal listeners that we begin this edition of Where Are They Now? We heard from Kathy Kay, and she said, "Hey, I know you like the KHL, or seemingly, but please take a look at the roster of the Nuremberg Ice Tigers. Nuremberg Ice Tigers from Nuremberg, Germany. They play in the top league in Germany."
Right.
And if you go through the roster, the current roster, Kathy said you'll find an ex-Habs prospect and you'll find an ex-Hab. And that's exactly what I found.
Okay.
Going through there on defense, we have Tom Gilbert, and we remember Tom Gilbert. Yeah,
Tommy
playing 2 Gilbert. Seasons with the Canadians.
Yeah.
And I'll let you argue about how well he played his 2 seasons. And the other person on the list was Nicholas Torp. And Nicholas was a sixth round pick back in 2007 out of Modo, never made the venture across.
No. Okay. I was going to say, I don't even remember that name.
So, and that's where you'd think it would end. And thank you, Kathy, for those 2 suggestions.
But wait, there's more.
However, I should just listen to what I'm told and to do, and but that's not me. So there is an ex-Hab, there is an ex-Habs prospect, but I found somebody else on the roster that interested me a little bit more than those 2 players.
Uh-oh.
On defense, Festerling. You remember Brett Festerling?
Yeah, him. Absolutely. I have no idea who Brett Festerling is.
Brett Festerling, I remember him. He's just kind of a stay-at-home defenseman. He's from BC, played his junior hockey in for the Tri-City Americans of the WHL.
Uh-huh.
His teammate was Carey Price.
Oh.
There's a connection there. Canadians connection.
Okay. All right.
Now, Festerling was drafted by Anaheim, the Anaheim Ducks. And he, you know, worked his way. He actually got, what is it here? 83 games of any 83 NHL games of experience under his belt. And then made his way to the Hamilton Bulldogs.
Oh, really?
The affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens.
I did not remember that.
Yeah, he was there for the 2010-11 season.
Okay.
On that 2010-11 Bulldogs roster, there was David Desharnais.
Max Pacioretty.
Max Pacioretty.
Because I remember going to see the Bulldogs when Patches was still playing with them.
Festerling was probably in the lineup.
Probably.
Ryan White was there.
Yes, he was.
We've talked about this season. And Nigel Dawes, who we've talked about a couple
Nigel,
weeks.
Who decided to start playing hockey when he went to Russia.
And it's tremendous. But there was one more player on that 2010-11 Bulldogs roster.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah?
Pardon?
Yeah?
By the name of Andrew Conboy.
Oh, I do remember that name.
Andrew Conboy, Burnsville, Minnesota. He was fifth-round pick for the Canadiens in 2007. He was a big guy, 6'3", good size, but he skated like the wind. He was a great skater for a big guy. The Canadiens drafted him, like I say, fifth round, went while he was playing with the Omaha Lancers of the USHL.
Okay.
Following that, he went on to play for Michigan State for the 2008-2009 season with Michigan State University.
Mm-hmm.
21 games into his NCAA career, he was involved in a really nasty, rather public, on-ice incident. It was a rivalry game between Michigan State and the University of Michigan. Last minute of the game, Conboy clotheslined Steve Kampfer and then punched him in the side of the head, blindside.
I do remember that.
Then Conboy's teammate, by the name of Corey Traub, came over and slashed at the throat area of Kampfer while he laid out on the ice.
Well, you know, we don't really encourage that.
We don't.
Radko Gudas, we don't encourage that.
So, yeah, I thought you'd appreciate that connection.
Yeah, right.
So both Conboy and Traub were suspended for the rest of the regular season and for the playoffs.
Oy.
It was kind of both a joint suspension by the team and the league. So Conboy said, okay, fine. I'm leaving the team. And I'm leaving Michigan State.
Really?
And a couple weeks later, the Montreal Canadiens signed Andrew Conboy to a 3-year contract.
Because that's just what we're looking for in our lineup.
Apparently.
I'm surprised it wasn't Philadelphia. They'd be like, come on over.
So Mr. Conboy finished out the season with the Bulldogs and then played the better half of 3 more seasons for the Hamilton Bulldogs, where he accumulated 207 penalty minutes in 157 AHL games.
Well, you know, when you have a reputation, you want to maintain it.
Uh-huh. So after a quick stop in the ECHL, once he left the Bulldogs,
mm-hmm.
Conboy went over to play in Wales for the Cardiff Devils.
Okay.
And if you look on allhabs.net and you look for Andrew Conboy, there is there's an article about his time in Wales and a close up interview that was done with him from the broadcaster of the Cardiff Devils, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
And while he was in Wales, he was suspended.
Shocker.
There's a preseason game.
Oh, come on. Preseason? Really?
That's a great way to start your year. Where he was involved in two fights, not one, but two fights.
Well, you know.
And in the second fight, he headbutted his opponent.
Ooh. We all know that doesn't ever turn out well.
No. Suspended there, he was in total, he was suspended three times that season and subsequently dropped by the Cardiff Devils.
Oh, come on. That's not a reason to not sign him again.
So after that, he returned to the ECHL. In 2013-14, he played for the Idaho Steelheads.
Okay.
And just 16 games in, he was suspended.
I like this guy. Is he, like... Is he available for a contract pickup for like a PTO anywhere?
The following year, he moved on to the Elmira Jackals, the Idaho Steelheads that had enough. And early on in that season, in October, you guessed it, a 4-game suspension for Mr. Convoy.
At least he's consistent. I mean, we've been saying we just need consistency. So, you know, there's that.
So after his October suspension, the season moves on. And at the end of January, there was a game against the Brampton Beast, the ECHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens.
Okay.
And during that game, Mr. Convoy delivered a cross check to the face of Calvin Wilde. And for deliberately trying to injure a player, an opponent, he was mm-hmm. suspended by the ECHL for 20 games. So after that suspension, the Jackals waved him.
Like, okay, we're done.
Yeah, hereby ending his career.
That's it?
As a player.
Oh, don't tell me he's coaching. Is he coaching? Please tell
by
me.
Now
he's,
you
please tell me he's shaping
guy.
Young hockey minds.
You might think this guy's trouble. However.
No, I want to put him on a kid's team.
In 2016-17, he was hired by Rosemount High School.
Nice.
As an assistant coach. But, do you remember the Omaha Lancers? We started the story with the Omaha Lancers.
Right.
That's where he started his USHL career.
Right.
Well, that same season, the Omaha Lancers gave Convoy a job as a scout.
All right.
But who would hire him? Who would hire him to be a scout for the Omaha Lancers? Well,
I don't know.
Again, there's a Montreal Canadiens connection. The general manager and head coach of the Omaha Lancers is David Wilkie.
Okay.
David Wilkie was the first round pick of the Montreal Canadiens in the 1992 NHL entry draft.
Wow.
And Wilkie played in the AHL, and back then it was the Fredericton Canadiens. And he played for about a season and a half with the Montreal Canadiens before he was traded to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Huh.
Now, this was in the Rajan Ull era of the Montreal Canadiens. Dark days for the Canadiens.
Yeah.
Now, this trade was not as infamous as the Rajan Ull trade of Patrick Waugh, but he sent David Wilkie, Stefan Richie, and Darcy Tucker to Tampa.
Huh.
And received back Patrick Poulin, Mike Vogoda, and Igor Ulanov.
Oh yeah, those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yes, our friend Andrew Conboy had
Is he still coaching a high school?
No information on that. The last we know was 2016-17. I'm not sure if he's still influencing young minds or not.
Can you imagine? Like, oh my gosh, I just can't even imagine.
Yeah, a bit of a checkered. Would you say checkered career?
A little bit. Has the train come to a full stop now? Is the ride over?
That is our journey.
Wow.
That is our journey from Germany.
Do you see what you've done, Kathy K? Do you see what you did today? I hope you're happy.
It's all her fault.
Always.
And we appreciate getting suggestions, recommendations.
We do.
So Kathy, thank you. And send more in. There's another one came in from Blaine Potvin, which we could feature in upcoming weeks. And if you have a where are they now candidate, be sure to send us and we'll see where that journey takes us.
Oh yeah. Because I guarantee you, whatever submission you send to us, Rick's going to find it. You know, it's like the how many degrees of separation. He will find a journey regarding whomever you come up with. So it's kind of like playing roulette. You just don't know what you're going to get. But send them in. We want the suggestions. We love it. Thank you, Kathy. And thank you, Rick, for yet another edition of Journeys with Rick. Where are they now? All right.
You're
well,
welcome.
To wrap up. Oh, well, in all seriousness, it takes a lot of research to dive down that deep into the journeys that players go through and their connections to teammates in what is a very small hockey community globally, to be honest. And so kudos to Rick for always going the extra mile there to really dig down and find the good stories. One more thing to cover while we're on the AHL. I just want to give about once a month or so, just want to kind of give everyone a little update as to the standings now that we're out of the first month of the season and rapidly actually approaching the third month of the season. And everyone puts kind of American Thanksgiving on the NHL side, American Thanksgiving as kind of a marker for how things are looking for a playoff run in the spring and those types of things. So let's just take a very quick look at the standings. In the North Division, the Laval Rocket, as of today, has played 18 games, and they're sitting third in the North Division behind the Toronto Marlies and Rochester Americans. They have a 9-7-2 record currently. Concurrently on the Atlantic Division side, as always, Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins are leading the Atlantic Division, followed closely by the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, and the Providence Bruins are in there as well. Wilkes-Barre Scranton, I have to say, is on a 10-0-0-1 streak right now.
Wow.
which is, I'm sure, frightening for anybody in the Atlantic Division. They've won 9 of their last 10 games and they've only, they're sitting at the top of that division, having only played 14 games, as opposed to the Phantoms, who've played 17. So looks like that could be a very interesting race. And the North Division as well, Toronto, Rochester, Laval, that's a pretty interesting top three. In the Central Division, Manitoba Moose are leading the Central, followed by the Cleveland Monsters and the Rockford Ice Hogs. And in the Pacific Division, the Tucson Runners are out in front with the Stockton Heat coming in second place right now and the San Antonio Rampage. So overall, looking at conference standings, in the Eastern Conference, of course, Wilkes-Barre is definitely right up at the top, followed by the Marlies and the Phantoms. The Laval Rocket are sitting in eighth place in the Eastern Conference right now. So they're really on that kind of cusp position. They really need to have a good push here in the next couple of weeks to get some much needed points. And in the Western Conference, the Tucson Roadrunners are leading the Western Conference, followed by the Stockton Heat and the Manitoba Moose. So should be interesting going forward. We like to see that the Rocket are certainly in the hunt for a playoff position right now. And hopefully they can get back on the winning track and get a more solid footing in that.
It should be said, I guess, that the same kind of rules don't necessarily apply as, you know, mm-hmm. that you mentioned that cutoff in the NHL.
Right.
Or that milestone point, the American Thanksgiving, because there's so much more volatility in lineups, call-ups, whatnot, that those rules don't necessarily apply to the AHL.
Right. Things change constantly.
But we're seeing that teams are starting to the standings are starting to shake out and get reasonably the way they may end up come playoff time.
Right. And like I said, we'll kind of keep an eye on the standings. Probably once a month we'll do a standings report like that, just to keep everybody kind of tapped into where things are shaking out in the league and what your team, the Laval Rocket, needs to do to make sure that they're there for the postseason. So I guess that brings us to little top five action for us today. We love this segment. But of course, first, I must say that, okay, it's top five, but first, you know, dun dun dun. No by Rick Stevens, which is our friend Kathy Kay has determined that we need to have a subtitle for top five, which is No by Rick Stevens, which is sounds a lot sexier than here are my rules and exclusions for top five. I believe you're actually going to get your own special bumper for No by Rick Stevens
nice.
Coming up sometime soon. Yeah. Because as I understand it, sources have told me that even though today we are going to break down the top five Thanksgiving desserts, if everyone remembers for Canadian Thanksgiving, we did the top five Thanksgiving dishes, like side dishes and dishes at dinner. Well, now that it's American Thanksgiving, we're going to hit the top five Thanksgiving desserts. But sources tell me that you have found a way to come up with rules and exclusions for this category as well.
Well, always.
You've come up with No by Rick Stevens for Thanksgiving desserts.
Well, and I don't know that that I'm going to necessarily reveal them then up front. Maybe I'll leave it as...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just say this was a huge challenge for me and a challenge in a different way than any of the other top fives have been in I'm not a dessert person necessarily.
Everybody's a dessert person.
Well, not at Thanksgiving. I'd rather have second, you know, third helpings or whatever than dessert.
You can do that and still have dessert.
So my no could have been, no thanks, I'm not having dessert. And I could have, you know, you'd say, and your number four is, and I'd say, pass.
You're full of it.
And that would have been very boring. So I worked very hard on this, but you may notice a bit of a theme starting to emerge as we go through my list.
Okay.
And I do have an honorable mention. Honorable mention and a top five.
Well, go ahead with your honorable mention, Mr. No, I don't like desserts because I'm from another planet. I don't know.
Do you have an honorable mention?
I do not.
No. Well, mention.
Honestly, my honorable mention list would be, I don't know, a mile long because I am a dessert person, so... But this is strictly Thanksgiving desserts. So I was able to take out all of the other things that I would love to eat for dessert and just focus on the ones that I like to eat after my Thanksgiving meal. So that made it easier.
Well, my honorable mention is pumpkin pie. And
how is that your honorable mention?
Well, it's a classic, so I feel that it has to be in there. But I, to be honest, I don't really like pumpkin pie. Or let me say,
why would it be an honorable mention?
Well, I feel like it has to be in there because it's a Thanksgiving dessert thing. And I don't like most pumpkin pies because most pumpkin pies are just really dense. You know, the filling is dense.
Yes, it's delicious.
And gross. And gross.
no, it's so not. You're gross.
my honorable mention pumpkin pie has to, the filling has to be kind of light and fluffy. And
oh my God. He's got rules and exceptions for the pumpkin pie, people.
And lots and lots and lots of real, not the fake stuff, the real whipped cream, which will just kind of hide the taste of the gross pumpkin pie. And then it makes my honorable mention list.
Well, then, so why don't you just take a frickin' pie crust and fill it with whipped cream?
You know what? I'm writing that down. That's a good idea. That's a great idea.
I mean, don't eat the actual pumpkin pie. Don't waste it. Give it to those of us who actually like pumpkin pie.
Well, I'm just trying to be in the spirit of Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Okay. All right. Well, so I'll take your quote unquote honorable mention. Tell us what your number five actual top five dessert is.
My number five Thanksgiving dessert is lemon pie.
At Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Like lemon meringue pie?
Well, see, that's here we go again, because that's the first thing you do. You start by scraping off that nasty meringue stuff. You just scrape it right off.
No, you
have a bit of tart lemon and the nice flaky crust remaining.
You're the worst.
Yeah. And that's my number five dessert on Thanksgiving.
The next time we have a team dinner, I'm going to make sure that our entire team knows not to bake desserts for you.
And don't ask me to bring dessert either.
All right. So lemon pie that has had the meringue scraped off, which makes it half useless. So what,
like,
do you put
whipped
cream on top of it then?
Well, I hadn't added that. Yeah, I hadn't added that in my list, but I guess I could. That's a good idea again.
Oh,
thank you.
God. All right. Well, I'm going to take your number five. That's not really a number. I don't know. That's like a half a dessert. My number five is a dessert. Disclaimer. Can we all agree, especially ladies, I'm sorry, I have to ping you on this, ladies, because you're usually the culprits of this, although some dudes do this as well. But can we just stop with the obsession with the pumpkin spice everything once August 27th rolls around until Christmas? Like, we don't need pumpkin spice cookies and pumpkin spice donuts and pumpkin spice bread and pumpkin spice roast beef or whatever the hell it is. Like, it's way overload. I love pumpkin, but just stop with all the pumpkin spice everything. And so I feel like a lot of Thanksgiving desserts go way overboard in taking, you know, pumpkin spice and making a new dessert out of it. But the one dessert that I do like that's pumpkin, that is not pumpkin pie, is something that they make at least here in Pennsylvania. I don't know if this is like a universal dessert or not, but that's pumpkin roll. And I'm sure Rick is making disgusting. Disgusting faces. I'm sure pumpkin roll. For those of you who don't know what it is, and if you don't, Google it so that you can see what a picture of it is. It's you take like a long flat jelly roll pan and you make basically like a pumpkin cake, like a pumpkin spice cake, and you spread it with a really thick layer of super tasty cream cheese icing, and then you roll it up into like a pinwheel, like a, you roll the whole cake up into like this big round log and slice it up with whipped cream and stuff like that. It's delicious. Delicious. It's pumpkin roll. Takes forever to make. I very rarely make it at home because it's pretty labor intensive. But it's quite delectable. So pumpkin roll is my number five.
Okay, I'm not gonna Google it. I'm not.
Fine.
Everybody
don't.
Else
everyone
should.
Everyone else.
I'm not.
Yes, yeah. Everyone else should Google pumpkin roll if you don't. If it is not something that is made in your corner of the world, and if you like pumpkin pie, and if you like carrot cake, because it tastes very similar to carrot cake, then Google it. Cake. Oh, for God's sake. All right, give us your number four. What monstrosity of destruction have you done to some other dessert to come in at your number four?
At number four, and you may have not figured it out yet, but there is a theme emerging, is pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie was your honorable mention.
Sorry, did I say pumpkin pie? Apple pie,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was like,
had a brain lapse there. My sugar's low. I need some apple pie right now.
Okay.
Sorry.
Apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the apple pie with just the crust and some whipped cream and not any apples in it?
The pastry in all of these desserts I've mentioned, these variety of desserts that I've mentioned, the pastry is key. It's the most important. You got to have the flaky crust, and you use the lard or the shortening. I don't know what it is that goes into it, but use the good stuff. Make it flaky. In apple pie, you need to have firm apples. You need to have ones that are not going to break down. You need like Granny Smith. You need Macintosh. You need Golden Delicious, maybe even a mix of all of those. And then you just lather on a lot of whipped cream, real whipped cream, on the apple pie.
Go ahead.
No, the issue is that the whipped cream cuts down on the sweetness of the pie, so it kind of evens it out. And if you think about back to my list for the main course, the number one was my number one. Yeah, it was. My number one is gravy, right?
Right.
So think of whipped cream, the real whipped cream, as the gravy of the main course. You're just continuing on, and the whipped cream becomes in the same proportions, just gallons and gallons of whipped cream for the dessert.
For a guy who says he doesn't like desserts very much, you have a hell of a lot of rules regarding your desserts.
It seems like I have rules about most things, but...
Yeah.
That's a topic for another day.
Alrighty then. Apple pie with very specific crust instructions and very specific apple instructions, and I'm sure very specific sugar ratio instructions, and very specific, yet again, whipped cream. I still say I don't know why you don't just have whipped cream pie as 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. But okay.
And you have?
For number four,
cheesecake. Okay.
I will never turn down a good piece of New York style cheesecake. And New York style, for those of you who have never had true New York style cheesecake, is very, very dense. I can usually only eat about half a piece of it because it's so dense and so rich. That it's hard to make it through an entire piece. And I don't need like fancy cheesecake with chocolate swirls and caramel swirls and blah, blah, blah. Just plain cheesecake with, you know, put some topping on it, like strawberries or raspberries or blueberries or whatever. But cheesecake. Love cheesecake.
All right.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, I could sort of. You need the fruit on top. But yeah, I could do that. Sort of.
No whipped cream?
Again, another great idea from the kitchens of. Are we moving on?
What's your number three? I'm afraid to ask what your number three is.
My number three is key lime pie.
At Thanksgiving?
Yeah, of course. I first had key lime pie when I was in a conference in Miami Beach in the Fontainebleau, and oh, it's beautiful. But it's got to be
not for
key
Thanksgiving.
Lime pie. Well, sure. Why not?
All right.
It refreshes you after, you know, all the different flavors that you had during the main course. Key lime pie gives you that kind of refreshing taste. But sometimes it can be made, when it's made, it's just sickeningly sweet because you have the condensed milk in there. And it can be too sweet. We don't like it too sweet. But it's got to be rich and creamy and have that graham wafer kind of crust and plenty of real whipped cream on just a nice healthy dollop on the top.
You have
of the
issues. Do you understand that you have issues?
Pie issues?
Sure, I'll narrow it to that.
That's my number three. For our listeners down south, I'm catering to them. We have traditional key lime.
Yes, it's on every table for American Thanksgiving. You can find a key lime pie everywhere. My number three is something that Rick has already said that he doesn't like, but I do. And it's a dessert that I really only like in the fall months and can be tasty after Thanksgiving, and that is carrot cake. Carrot cake with cream cheese frosting. Loads of cream cheese frosting. Oh, delicious. It's just delicious, especially if it's like
frosting.
A double layer. Oh. What's that?
Yeah, it's that frosting, like 3 inches on top
that's just super sweet.
Mmm.
Mm, but it's got the tang from the cream cheese in it. Oh, so good.
Hmm.
So that's my number three.
I'll Google it.
Notice how I just say, here's a dessert that I will put in my face and not have 5,000 rules about it. All right,
well,
what's your number two?
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but number two is a little complicated.
Oh, God.
Well, because number two,
it's a good thing I didn't have a rant this week because we'd be running out of time again.
There's a tie at the number two spot, a dead heat tie. Couldn't break the tie. Tried, couldn't break it. A tie between cherry pie with those sour pitted cherries, and
of course,
and a tie with blueberry pie. With the small wild blueberries, the tasty wild blueberries. A tie. Cherry pie, blueberry pie, and plenty of whipped cream on both. And the nice thing is that if you happen to be in the Kitchener-Waterloo, Cambridge area, if you go down to the St. Jacob's Market, they make something called Very Berry. And it includes both cherry, blueberries, and I think they throw in cranberries as well, which kind of offsets the sweetness. And it's so you can get it all in one.
Which is obviously what you need.
Yeah. Because then I could just have the very berry pie in my number two. But right now, it has to be a tie, cherry and blueberry at the number two position.
Oddly enough, my number two is cherry pie.
Look at that.
It is.
We sort of agree.
I don't need whipped cream on mine. Okay, here's a fun fact about Amy. I could live my whole life without whipped cream. I'm good. I don't need whipped cream. Half the time I scrape whipped cream off. If anybody says, do you want whipped cream on your milkshake? No, I do not. Do you want milk? whipped cream on your pie? No, I do not. If I wanted whipped cream, I'd open the fridge, take the can out, and I'd spray whipped cream directly into my face. But other than that, I don't.
Like you haven't done that before.
Yeah, I have. Not on my pie. So cherry pie, I agree. Really good homemade flaky buttery crust. You need a lot of butter in your crust. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to guess that your number one is a pie of some variety.
How could you possibly know that?
Because it's apparently the only thing that you eat.
For dessert. Well, my number one is a pie. Yes, indeed it is. And at the number one position, I have huckleberry pie.
What?
Now, if you haven't had huckleberry pie.
What kind of random corner of the earth did you pull that out from?
Huckleberry pie is unbelievable. Just unbelievable. If you get, now it's hard because huckleberries tend to be found in the West. Blueberries tend to be found in the East. I mean, that's a generalization. But if you get the wild huckleberries, they're a uh-huh. little bit sweeter than blueberries. Uh-huh. They're more, they have more of an intense flavor, and they are a lot juicier.
Okay.
So you need a lot of whipped cream to sop up all of the
for God's sake.
Huckleberry pie juice. Yeah. But yes, huckleberry pie with some whipped cream and
some whipped cream. Yeah, right.
Thank me later. It is absolutely tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. That's my number one.
Whipped cream. I'm surprised you didn't have whipped cream as just a category of its own.
Well, okay. Take that under advisement.
Okay. Well, my number one is the only true dessert that should be served at a Thanksgiving table. If you have one dessert and one dessert only, it is the one time a year that it is automatically on the table. And that, my friends, is pumpkin pie. And I make a mean scratch-made homemade pumpkin pie. Homemade crust, homemade pie, you name it. I make a mean pumpkin pie. My parents clamor for it. Are you making pumpkin pie? Okay, I'll make pumpkin pie. It is the classic Thanksgiving dessert. I love that smooth, custardy, cool texture, flavor. It's just delicious. I still don't need whipped cream with it. I will eat whipped cream with it, but I don't need it. But yeah, pumpkin pie just cannot wait. That's like the one time a year that I eat pumpkin pie. I'm not one of those people that buys a pumpkin pie in May because I've got a craving for pumpkin pie. No, it's just at Thanksgiving, I need a piece of pumpkin pie or two or three. Shut up.
See, that's why I felt compelled to put it on my list. As an honorable mention, even though.
Yeah, but if you're not going to eat it, why it can't be on your list? What are you going to look at it? Oh, there's a pumpkin pie there. Okay, now I'll move over to my whipped cream.
You put enough whipped cream on something. Mm-hmm.
So there it is, our top five Thanksgiving. I really did not expect this to be as much of a debacle as it was. There's our top five Thanksgiving desserts. Someone please, please, please tweet me your top five Thanksgiving desserts and let me know that I'm not alone out here in the land of no dessert rules and exceptions and regulations and whipped cream quotas. So send us your top five list. Or, hey, maybe Rick's got fellow fans out there that could just eat crust and whipped cream and be thrilled with that. Tweet us at the AHL report.
Just wait. Well, that's, I'm afraid. All the key lime pie aficionados are going to be sending in.
But
their,
see, that's just it. But see, that's just it. I didn't say I don't like key lime pie. I love key lime pie. I just don't consider it a Thanksgiving dessert. Summer, yes, I love key lime pie in the summer. So see, that's That's my distinction. So yes, I'm afraid to see how many people from Florida and Georgia are like, oh hell no, we eat key lime pie all day long on Thanksgiving, because then I will be proven wrong. So send us your tweets with your top five at the AHL Report on Twitter, and we will read some of them out next week. Because I'm sure there's some interesting ones out there. There's plenty that we didn't. There was no creme brulee in there. There was no cannoli, if the Italians really like to have their cannoli at holidays, things like that. So tell us what you've got. What's on your Thanksgiving table for dessert? We want to know about it. And that, my friends, brings us to the close of another great episode of From the Press Box. As I mentioned, the Rocket Sports team will be on hand for both home games for the Laval Rocket this week. Rick, I'm really looking forward to trekking up to Montreal and getting my first look at Place Belle. And we will we'll be sure to talk to some players and, of course, Coach Lefebvre after the game. So we'll have some really great information for our listeners and readers. Of course, don't forget to, if you want your fix of podcasting from Rocket Sports Media for the Montreal Canadiens, be sure to tune in every Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern for our live podcast. That's Habs 360, hosted by Chris G and Mr. Rick Stevens as well. And Rick, we have a new podcast that's debuting this week for Rocket Sports as well, don't we?
Habs Unfiltered, and that will debut this week, and adds will be added to the Rocket Sports Radio lineup. It features hosts Blaine Potvin and Treg Wilson, a couple of Navy guys from the East Coast. So we get a little bit of a different perspective on the Montreal Canadiens. And I hear they're going to tell us whether the Canadiens should retool or just blow the thing up and start all over again. So look forward to that. Should be out Thursday, Thanksgiving Day.
So it's going to be salty is what you're saying, if it's too salty.
Oh, very. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
I might have to make an appearance. All right. Well, be sure to tune in to all of our podcasts. We, of course, thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to hit us up on Twitter at the AHL Report. You can also find Rick at All Habs on Twitter, and you can find me at Flyers Roll on Twitter. So be sure to say hello. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to retweet this and share it on Facebook. Spread the word to your friends that From the Press Box is your place to get all of the latest news insight and information about the Laval Rocket and the AHL in general, and just a lot of fun while we're at it. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you right back here next week. Have a great weekend, guys.